Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
It was the day of the underdog over the weekend as the provincial championships got up and running. Cavan, Wicklow and Waterford all recorded surprise victories, and we have plenty to discuss on today's episode of the Throw-In Football Show. Will Slattery here with you, delighted to be joined by Frank Roach and Dick Clerk. And Frank, I might go to you first. Obviously, we were treated to, as three legitimately surprising results and exciting finishes over the weekend, but they're coming still amidst this ongoing debate over the provincial championships, their place in the overall season structure. Like, how do you reflect on what we saw over the weekend? As I said, three teams will be very happy this morning, but, you know, the crowds, the games weren't great as well. So while the results were kind of great in and of themselves, is it really connecting, do you think, with the wider public?
Well, the attendances would probably say no. I mean, I was at Glenn and Brothers Pierce Park yesterday for Longford v Meath, and there was no official attendance, but local officials were suggesting it was somewhere around about 2,500 to 3,000 max, and a majority of them were from Meath. So there definitely was a level of apathy. Now, I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Partly, it depends on the peculiar circumstance of the fixture itself, and there seemed to be a lot of pessimism around the Longford team going into this year's championship. Did a really bad performance at the last round of the league against Wexford. There didn't seem to be any great aspirations or hint that, you know, they could cause a big shock like we had in some other venues. Like they beat Meath in Pierce Park 6 years ago in the championship. Great victory for them. There's no hint of that there, and consequently there's very few locals there. But we had the remnants of Storm Kathleen. I think, is it Storm Kathleen we had over the weekend? I mean, it was literally howling in Longford yesterday. Now, there wasn't any rain or anything like that. The match was, it was well playable, but it didn't feel like championship. And this is what happens when you start your provincial championships in the first weekend of April. You know, there's a disconnect there. It feels like you're still in the league. And then the other big factor is that it depends on where you are in the pecking order, how you actually approach these matches as well. You know, for some of the heavyweights like Dublin and that, who know they're probably going to win a provincial championship no matter what, they're not even going to be remotely looking to peak at this time of year. Whereas then for the Wicklows of this world or the Waterfords of this world, this was maybe the one weekend in the year where they could say, here's a fixture we can really go after. And maybe that's what happened. But in answer to your main question, did it feel like championship? Not really.
Yeah, Dick, what's your perspective on it? Obviously, your own county was in action yesterday. Obviously, they were defeated. The game had plenty of drama towards the latter stages. I think there was about 8,000 people at it in kind of a local derby. Do you agree with what Frank said, or are you a little more, I suppose, interested in what we saw over the weekend, or has some of the, I suppose, the significance of these victories been robbed because of where the provincial championships is now placed and the significance it has or doesn't have anymore?
Yeah, I think in terms of the broader question, I don't think there's an agree or disagree question anymore. It is what it is. The attendance is the lack of interest, relevance, that there's no mistaking it, that the provincial championships at large are significantly down in relevance by all measures. And that's where it is. There's anyone that's read during the week the Leinster chairman trying to convince people that, you know, the provincial championships or the Leinster provincial championship is alive and well, I'm sorry. I don't know by what measure he's making that statement on. But and we sort of have to call out semantics like that because it's not good enough. Like if people at the hierarchy are looking at their TV screens last night and seeing empty stadiums for their marquee competitions and think that that's okay, well, I'm sorry, you know, you don't either get the problem or you're not willing to face up to it. Either or, the questions have to be asked there. The solution is a difficult, a different conversation, but to get to a solution, you first have to accept there's a problem. And, you know, from our point of view, I think we like I was in Clonish yesterday, good atmosphere. There was, 78,000. Was always going to be. Ulster Championship is a competition apart. Cavan Monaghan has its own local rivalry. But that same fixture 10 years ago, there was 15,000 in Breffni, and that would have been the norm over the years. So even that fixture alone is well down. So we can't keep having these Groundhog Day conversations. That the provincial championships are dying on their feet, and yesterday was an example of that. And you know, we can talk about it here till we're blue in the face, but somebody needs to recognise that at a hierarchy and come up with a solution. Either put them to bed and come up with something else that engages the public, or move them back into when the time of the year the people did recognise them. It just doesn't feel like championship. Even the build up to the Monaghan Cavan game, it just didn't feel. Storm aside, still April, it's still cold, it's still wet, it's still damp. There's no sense of championship fever in the air, and that gets into the psyche of people, and there's going to be no escaping that.
Yeah, it's interesting, Frank, because if you were, say, a provincial championship absolutist who loves it and never wants it to be taken away, you might point to yesterday and say, look, Waterford had their first, you know, win in Munster since 2010, their first win over Tipperary since 1988. You know, Wicklow, who got relegated from Division 3, beat the Division 3 champions. Like, you know, you could be pointing to these, you know, upset results, but it doesn't seem to move the needle massively other than maybe in the counties themselves.
I think in those counties, it has to mean something. And I suppose of all the achievements over the weekend, I think Waterford deserves special mention because they hadn't beaten Tipperary in championship since 1988, and Tipperary aren't exactly a football stronghold. They hadn't won a Munster championship match since, I think, they beat Clare in 2010. So to see them win yesterday, and the manner in which they did it after, I think, their manager Paul Shankey referred to a diabolical first half performance, and they came out and won, and Tom O'Connell got two goals near the end, and it wasn't just the goals he scored, he gave us a Cantona celebration, I think, after each one, hands out, look at me, you know, it was moments like that are great, but they're the little stories within the big picture, and the big picture is that the GAA are trying to squeeze a 60-week calendar into a 52-week year. I mean, that's almost what it feels like. And there is no easy solution, but to resolve it, you're probably going to have to make big, hard calls on certain competitions. Either you get rid of them, you move them, or you look at the whatever it is, nearly 100 matches that are now required to in the football championships, the two championships to settle on winners there. Are there too many matches there? Because when you have league finals on the end of March and a week later, some of those teams are out in championship, they're actually being punished for their success earlier in the league. And that doesn't excuse like maybe why Westmeath lost to Wicklow or why Sligo weren't able to put up a proper show. Sorry, why Leitrim weren't able to put up more of a show against Sligo. But, you know, it is a factor. We're just trying to squeeze too much in. And even Leitrim played a couple of their senior players who were under 20. They took the decision midweek that they needed Barry McNulty and Jack Foley to play with the Leitrim under 20s against Mayo. They made that call fully realizing that they would be ineligible for this week, for Sunday's senior championship match. And maybe they paid the price. Now that rule has been relaxed for next year, but you know, those players couldn't play within 7 days of playing an under 20 championship match. So again, you know, we're squeezing in all these minor and under 20 championship matches midweek. It's impossible to keep up with them all. Even if you were the most devoted GAA fan, you just can't keep up with it.
Yeah, I was so annoyed listening to Andy Moore and looking at that, like, to take that example of how the system is arguably broken at the minute in terms of the structure, that a small progressing county like Leitrim, you know, after doing so well in committing to the league and doing what you'd want them to do to get promoted, and next thing they had to play a championship game the week after, that they would have looked at that Sligo game to sort of say, we can win that. They should be able to compete. But yet, they had to do that a week after. And then, on top of that, to insult them by asking them to put out an under 20 team that they had to cup tie players with. Like that there's nobody can stand up and say that that is acceptable. And like if somebody at the Connacht Council isn't looking at that as a sort of a microcosm of how everything is wrong at the minute and looking to do something, well, I'm sorry, you're not doing your job. You know, Andy Moore and people in Leitrim should be absolutely disgusted that that happened within 7 days for a small progressive county. And they're the sort of things that just should not be allowed to happen in any sport, in any code, at any grade. But yet it's happening here. And like, it's not good enough. You know, and I'd be just, because Andy's a good fella, and we talked about him here last week, about all the great things that they've done, and then to get penalised by a lack of competence in terms of putting a structure together that's fair and right and equitable. That's all any team and manager wants, and they're not getting that. And that's just not right. I don't care what anyone says.
And Dick, I wonder even how much of it is, I'm not letting them off the hook, but how much of it is the Connacht Council's fault, or is it that the provincial councils are completely stymied by the fact that here is this big mass of fixtures and the CCC are saying, right, we have to play fixture A, B, C and D by certain dates?
I mean, you put in some hard rules and sort of say, under no circumstances should a team be asked to play the first round of their championship game. If you're making a decision to have the provincial championships, fine, but under no circumstances should any team have to play the week after a league final. That's it. And if you can't deliver that, well, don't have the provincial championships. And then under no circumstances should an under 20 player not be allowed to play on both teams if you're allowing it. Like, that just can't happen. You know, do better. Don't come up with excuses. You know, do better if the people at the top of the provincial councils, because that's, for Leitrim's case alone, that's not good enough what they've done there this year.
And Frank, the case of Westmeath as well, you touched on, I think shows the kind of the another issue in the sense of, like, they went all out to win Division 3. They played round 6 and 7 that went into the final against Down, where Down were being talked of as the coming team. Westmeath take a great scalp. That only gave them one foot into the Sam Maguire, because if Kildare was to get to a Leinster final, given Clare, and now Waterford will probably take one of the spots, they have to go out the next week and play Wicklow. They lost to that game. But even if they'd beaten Wicklow, they would have been playing Kildare the following week. So it would have been 5 weeks in a row. And that's just to preserve the spot that they actually won by winning Division 3 in the first place. So it's kind of like, I know they ended up losing to Wicklow, so, you know, that's a very disappointing defeat. And now if Kildare beat Wicklow and Louth, Westmeath all of a sudden are dumped into the Tailteann Cup. So that, I think that's kind of quite an unfair run that they've been on as well, and it kind of shows some of the issues also.
And like what happens now is they're left hanging for several weeks, waiting and wondering where they're going to end up. Now, I was on my way home from Longford last night. I rang someone I know very well in my home county of Westmeath just to kind of get a handle on how bad was it, and the first half performance against Wicklow yesterday was up there or down there with the worst he'd seen in a long, long time. And part of the thinking was almost, well, you know, if that's how you play, do we even deserve to be in the Sam Maguire? But I go back to my previous point, you know, that they had this huge high the weekend before, beating Down, like, and Down were everyone's favourite for that fixture. But they beat them playing some really good football and smart, clever football. And clearly they just weren't right yesterday. Now, I think from what I understand, they actually elected to play against the wind, and there's a few calls like that backfired badly. Some of their defending for the second goal especially was criminal-like. But even leaving all that aside, there should be a clean break. Even if it involves just finding one extra week somewhere, there should be, after the league finals, there should be a fortnight before anyone plays championship. And that should be factored in. Rather than even rearranging fixtures, they should be able to find that amount of wiggle room because it gives no one time to even get their heads around the fact that the league is over and now we're into championship. I mean, even one small example, back in the good old days when there were several weeks of a break in the lead up to championship, and every newspaper, you know, you'd devote a week or two to actually prepping for your championship pullouts, your supplements, and there'd be big, you know, county by county guides, you'd be doing focuses on this, that, and the other. And that's got increasingly difficult to the point where actually I don't know if barely any paper does it now. You have it on the Saturday before, you have a couple of pages and you have a little bit on every county, but no one has time to think about championship, to get ready for it. Now the teams are obviously prepping for it all along, but the general public isn't in that frame of mind.
I've been in Croke Park. I've sat in committees. I know it's the easiest thing in the world to point at the problems and think that there's an easy solution. And I know there's not. And we've been through this time and time again, that you're trying to cram it in and you have to get a consensus, and the logistics of voting things through and the complexity of it. I get all that. And I have empathized with the people who are trying to do it. But at the same time, I challenge anybody involved at that level now, even, and Jarrett Burns now as the president, and he made a great start to his presidency last weekend in a rousing speech, and God knows no more than me, I was nearly jumping off the edge of my couch when he was speaking. But this is now the mettle of anyone in leadership to have to look at what happened this weekend and, you know, honestly sort of say, is that good enough for our flagship teams and our flagship competitions? And honestly, is that good enough? And if it's not, well, go back to the drawing board and come back with something better. Because we can't. I'm sick of these conversations. We shouldn't be talking about this in the first morning of the championship podcast. We should be talking about the games. And here we are again, Groundhog Day conversations that we've had how many times over the last number of years. But you know, we have to do better. And the people in who are tasked with doing that should be their only role at the minute, to try and come up with something better than they, because it's not serving anybody at this stage. It's hard to really see who's valuing the structure they are valuing at the minute, because the lesser teams, the Leitrims, well, we've just given an example, the Westmeads, the counties in between, there's another example, and then the Dublins and the Kerrys, sure, are they bothered with what's happening over the next couple of weeks? Probably not. They'll start worrying about June and July.
Just one point, Will, on that to finish up on, and it's from the supporters' point of view. Back in the day when you played your provincial championship and either carried on or went into the qualifiers, there was X number of matches that you might play, but you might only play two matches in the championship. Now, for especially the bigger counties, you're looking at a year ahead where you may have potentially three or four provincial championship matches. But beyond that, there's a whole new competition. There are three round-robin matches, and if you're good enough, another three knockout. Sorry. Potentially three or four knockout matches, because you have a preliminary quarterfinal. So supporters are probably looking at this thinking, right, if I'm from one of the counties with aspirations of achieving something big here, am I going to go to the match now in April, or am I going to wait until May and June and maybe July, where you're going to be, it feels like you're going to the ATM machine every week to buy championship tickets, like, you know. So
I think that that's a small side. I think if the games are of interest and of value, people will make their decisions around that. I think it has a small, like I was watching the old Ferrum on Sunday morning. Like, there's thousands of people across the on ferries in the Irish Sea every weekend fork out multiples of what it costs to go and watch their GA teams, and of no value, because they see it's of value. You make the product right, you market it well, people will go. The problem is we're not doing the first bit right, and that's to me what we have to fix, you know.
And just to move to on-pitch stuff, obviously the Monaghan-Cavan game was probably the biggest game of the weekend in terms of matchups. It was the televised match. You know, your county obviously came out on the wrong side of the result. Cavan's third consecutive, I think, championship win over Monaghan, which I'm sure Monaghan fans aren't too happy about. what kind of went wrong from a monitoring perspective? What did Cavan do right? Like, how do you reflect on things?
Yeah, now the ignominy, I'm taking this call from the, would you believe it, the Cavan County Chairman's office here in Stradone. So I'm really sort of eat humble pie. But as I text him straight after the game, Kieran O'Callaghan here in Stradone, he texted best team won. Congrats, they were. Cavan were the best team. There's no beating about it. A very disappointing performance from Monaghan. Yeah. There was injuries, there was personnel that definitely, you know, we didn't have full access to, but even the players that were out on the pitch, you know, will know this morning that they didn't perform anywhere near the level that they could. And yeah, there were 6 points in it, but the last sort of goal would sort of, you know, there's 3 or 4 points between the team on balance. Like, if you look at the ratings, I was just reading the report in the Indo this morning, I don't know who done it, was Colin or yourself, Frank, I think it was Colin, like the match ratings, you know, very quickly, just that tells you its own story. There was lots of sevens and eights for Cavan and too many fives and sixes in the player ratings. And that was the story. A lot too many Monaghan players just didn't perform. And a lot of Cavan players came with a performance that you want in championship. And that was the difference in that. That was evident early on. Cavan had a bit more energy, a bit more pace, a bit more physicality. And in championship football, that gets the job done. And tough and all it is for me to say, all credit to Cavan, they fully deserved the win.
Dick, I wonder, did some of what we saw during the league, did it manifest itself again yesterday? Now, I know the 3 Cavan goals came, I think, from the beyond the hour mark almost. But, you know, Monaghan had conceded 14 goals in 7 league matches. That's 2 per game. And we had a continuation of that maybe yesterday. Is defence?
Yes. No, we've lost something there. It's hard to, you know, hone in on one area. People would have said, you know, the absence of Rory was a factor there, but he was there yesterday and there was still 3 goals went in. So defensively as a unit, we're not anywhere near the races that we need to be competing in Division 1, which we already know wasn't good enough, and now to be competing in the Ulster Championship. And it's concerned because Cavan players time and time again were able to either break tackles and get through for goal chances, but also then the Monaghan tackling, like in the first half, Cavan didn't score from play. Paddy Lynch had a super game, but he scored 1 point from play. The goal was a bit fortuitous at the end, but he was picking up a lot of frees from bad Monaghan tackling individually and collectively. So it'd be a very big concern, and it's something that has slipped because that was our sort of bread and butter, has been for the last sort of 10, 15, 20 years nearly, in terms of that intensity and hard to break down. And we've lost that. And, you know, what was it, 3-12 or whatever it was? We were never the highest scorers anyway. But when you're conceding that at one end, Frank, you're always going to be on the difficult side to try and get a result, to try and outscore defence like that. So that's a big concern at the minute. There's no getting away from it. The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, so Cavan move on to play Tyrone in 2 weeks' time, and it's been a very strong start for Raymond Galligan as manager, a couple of good wins in Division 2 and staying up there as well. And Frank, I know you were at the Meade-Longford game, and obviously Meade now next up, they have Dublin, the old rivals, going head-to-head again, haven't beaten them since 2010, obviously. You know, anything you saw yesterday, you know, reading your report, it was funny, like you kind of talking about how the scoreline was quite misleading. It seemed like a barn-burning end-to-end, like, great game, but, it, you know, maybe give the listener a flavour of what unfolded yesterday.
Well, I suppose we'll start with the positive. From a Meade point of view, their execution, for the most part, especially in the first half when they had the Gael with them, was top drawer. I mean, the first 5 shots at the post came in the first, whatever it was, 7 minutes. Each one flew over the bar. They had maybe 7 wides in total, but like they scored 319, 218 of that was from play. And some of their forwards were really on the money, like James Conlon. He missed most, if not all, of the league. He's been a player who's been in and out of the Meade setup for a number of years now. But like, he was man of the match yesterday. Like, he scored 1-6 from play, but it wasn't just his, you know, what the stats. It was just his movement, his sharpness. Every time the ball came towards him, like, you could see he was in the zone. But like, he had some great support. Like, Owen Frayne is a player I haven't really seen a whole pile of. He was very good yesterday. He got 1-5, I think, 4 points from play. Jordan Morris, who again, another player who missed big chunk of the league, if not all of it, got 4 points from play. So going forward, they were very good. But that has to be tempered against the fact that Longford were far too passive. you know, they weren't getting touched tight. There wasn't enough aggression in the tackling. And you could really see the gulf between a Division 2 team and a Division 4 team. And it was written all over yesterday's game. And the bizarre thing is that Longford ended up scoring 3-12. They lost by 7 points. You look at the scoreline, you think, oh my God, that must have been a cracker. But like, it wasn't. You know, there was four of the goals came from the 63rd minute on. Three of the goals came in, I think, 1 minute after another, even later still. You know, so like Longford got two goals in that kind of madcap finish when the game was long over. The worry for Colm O'Rourke will be that, you know, yesterday's game was no prep for what's coming next in Croke Park. No matter where Dublin are in their heads and all that, but should we know where? Like, we saw how Dublin played right through the league, and even in the league final, while they were surprisingly open at the back, they still, you know, they contributed hugely to the brilliant game of football there only 8 days ago. So, I mean, if Dublin's forwards are given the same latitude and space that some of the Longford players got at different stages yesterday, you know, there won't be just a load of points in Croke Park. There could be quite a few goals as well. So, like, Meath really need to, was it 2 or 3 years ago, they ran Dublin to 6 points in Leinster, but that was out of keeping with most of the matches we've seen between these counties in the last 10 years, where like regularly we've seen margins of 15 to 21 points or something like that, you know, between them. So I think Meath are going in the right direction. There's a lot of good players. There's a lot of pace to the team. But this is a huge step up, you know.
Yeah, Dick, it's funny, like, I think it was last year in the Leinster semi-final, Kildare almost beat Dublin. I think it was only maybe a point or two in it at the end, and it was very close, but it feels in the intervening period, Dublin have kind of stretched the landscape back to what it was in the end of the Jim Gavin era, where they were just unassailable kind of victors in most of their games. Would you give me, I don't even know if I'm going to ask, a chance of winning, do you give them a chance of even making it competitive, like the game Frank alluded to, a 6-point margin maybe 2 years ago, or do you think Dublin will just be way, way too good for them?
I want them to compete. That's all you're looking for, is to compete, like, because they're in the All-Ireland series, so whatever what happens against Dublin, they're going to be, you know, competing against those teams, and everyone that has an interest in our championship working, we want to see competitive games. And if Dublin do, you know, 20 points on Meath next week, it's good for nobody, and it'll be quite deflating, because again, that's if the Leinster Championship has any chance of surviving, it needs to have some sort of competitive dynamic between Dublin and Meath, and we haven't had that. It's came sort of close to a point over the last couple of times, but by and large there's been just a sort of canyon between them. So hopefully pace is the big thing. Like, even watching the game yesterday, like, the way the game has evolved, a team's ability to play at pace, and this is not just, I'm not just talking about having players that can run fast, but that collectively they think with pace, how they transition the ball, how they, you know, work off the shoulder, how intense they are. Meath have to sort of recognise that whatever they've been doing this year to date in Longford yesterday or in the league, you know, there's another two tiers up that they have to sort of find. So, because that's when you see the team separate, and it'll be interesting. So Frank's sort of saying, based on looking at, you know, Meath looked faster than, or more pacey than Longford, but that's, with all due respect, being compared against a low bar. What's that like against Dublin? So that's what you know, Colm O'Rourke and the players have to sort of say, guys, we have to operate at a level, and they just might have the lungs or the legs on them to do that for 70 minutes. They won't. But even if they can stay with them for 45, 50, 60 minutes, that'd be enough. I take that, but know that, you know, that they have to push themselves up and use it as a challenge to see, can they compete at that level? And hopefully they do, because, you know, we need them to, you know.
And Frank, one of the teams who was a big winner yesterday that didn't even play was probably Kildare. You know, like, they're looking at their path into Sam Maguire football, and obviously they lost all their league matches, but they have Wicklow coming next weekend instead of Westmeath, who look to be one of the form teams, you know, in and around that level. So if Kildare now beat Wicklow and then beat Louth, they're back into the Sam Maguire, which even though they've been so poor, that seems doable to me on paper. What's your thoughts? Like, do they have a good pathway back into things, you think?
You've lost a few friends in Wexford there because they allowed them to beat them too. And in fairness, Wexford have shown plenty of promise in the last, not just in the league, actually, since they were beaten by a very, very controversial penalty against Leitrim, I think, in round 3 of the league. They won their next 4 matches by, on average, 11 points per game. And they did a number on Carlow, serious number on Carlow there at the weekend. So, no guarantee that, but in relation, the key point there is that a window of opportunity is definitely opened up here for Kildare because they're going to be playing a Wicklow team who are, okay, not just maybe been relegated to Division 3, but they've put in a big performance. But now they have to come down from the high of that and come up again in the space of a week. Do you know, it would have been less of a challenge, I'd say, for Westmeath to maybe if they'd muddled past Wicklow at the weekend, not playing particularly well, to get themselves set for the match against Kildare this coming weekend, especially in the light of what was at stake, that they knew that if they beat Kildare, they were almost guaranteed place in the All-Ireland series. Wicklow now have to readjust and produce a similar, if not probably a better performance this coming weekend. But this is all predicated on whether Kildare are able to find form. You know, they were awful for most of the league. I saw them live twice, I think, against Armagh, where they were just, okay, playing against a superior opposition. But they just offered virtually nothing in that match after the first 10 minutes. They just looked a team bereft of confidence, of everything. And then I saw them against Louth, where they were better, but they weren't playing as good a team. And they still ended up losing a game where maybe they could have got something out of it. And also a game where maybe the pressure was off because they were already relegated. And they still weren't able to find that elusive win. So there's still huge pressure on Glenn Ryan and his players going into this weekend. Because they have to win this match, but then they have to win 2 weeks later as well. And if they keep playing the way they have been playing, they may not win this weekend.
Hmm. Yeah, Dick, it's a funny one. Like, you know, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, like, you know, Westmeath put their best foot forward, beat down in a league final. And yet, slipping up against Wicklow means that Kildare, who've been awful all year, only have to win 2 matches, one of which, as Frank mentioned, and the Wicklow team coming down off a big high, and then they're, you know, they kick Westmeath back down to Tailteann Cup. Like, it doesn't seem fair now, obviously, because they have to go and do their end of the bargain, and that's far from guaranteed. But it shows up another kind of anomaly where, despite like winning your league and having a really good, you know, early season, it doesn't guarantee anything because of the way the thing is set up.
No, it doesn't. But listen, I'm sort of going to crystal ball gaze here, and I'm going to say whatever, but bemoaning the championships, we're building up to a clinker of a semi-final with Kildare and Louth. Like, Kildare should beat Wicklow. I think psychologically, Wicklow caught Westmeath, who we've already talked about, hadn't got the great preparation. I don't think they'll do it again. I think Kildare, bad and all it being, there's enough there. They can't have fallen that far that they should be losing a game like that. So I'm predicting Kildare to beat that. It mightn't be the prettiest, but they'll get the job done. And I do think Louth know what's at stake here. You know, they'll be pushing to beat, and they should be beating Wexford. So there's 2 divisions between them. So I'm thinking in a couple of weeks, we're going to be building up to potentially the game of the championship because there's so much riding on that single fixture. And hopefully they're 2 competitive games because all credit to Wicklow and Wexford. We want to see that happen. We want to see counties, you know, putting in big championship performances. But I think we're looking towards a thinker of a semi-final. And to be honest with you, if that's the semi-final, I'd go and watch that. I'd go and watch Louth and Kildare, and I would encourage anybody to be going out to these games that there is plenty to ride on because, you know, what is the saying? Nothing beats being there. I'm trying to be positive here. I'm trying to get to pull something from the burning embers of the championship here. But I can see that sort of building up to, it's almost like a championship within a championship, you know?
Dick, the Leinster Championship is alive and kicking.
Ah, there we go. Last week, Jesus, yeah, the chairman was right. What was I saying? What would I know?
Well, we started off on a downbeat note, so at least we could finish on a little bit of positivity. I'd like to thank Dick and Frank for joining me on this week's episode of the Throw-In Football Show. We'll be back next week with another show looking back on the weekend's championship action. In the meantime, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen on independent.ie. So until next time, thanks so much for listening, and goodbye.